And welcome to A Mime Soapbox, the first episode of A Mime Soapbox, where mime is money, and I got money on my mime. All right, first person that gets back to us with what that reference is, we'll put you on the show or something. But either way, my name is Drew, and with me I have my wife, Brooke.
Hi.
Longtime best friend, best woman. To talk about a very important discovery that I've come across with Attack on Titan. This is the extreme stark similarity of Attack on Titan with one of my favorite all-time sci-fi flicks, Starship Troopers. It's the same movie.
It is. Well, show? Movie show?
It's the same form. It's the same story.
Yeah.
Story was the word. It is the exact same story. There are so many similarities between both of these shows, you can't think one was influenced by the other. Obviously, Attack on Titan being influenced by Starship Troopers.
Yes, since Starship Troopers came out in 97?
I believe it's 97.
Yeah. Which still holds up. Holds up great.
It holds up better every year that goes by.
Yes.
Every year. Better. Like, it's one of those movies you can watch, and every time it gets better, you pick up on more subtle humor, satire, and subtleties. It grows on you, and it is... It's ironic, or not ironic, it's just odd because this is one of my favorite kind of styles of movies, and you were the one that introduced me to Starship Troopers just a year or two ago, and it instantly grew on me as probably one of my top 25, if not 15, favorite films ever.
Easily top 5 sci-fi.
Yeah, top 5 sci-fi is, yes, probably number 5.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, we're not talking about other movies. We're talking about Starship Trooper. So today we're going to go down the list that we have come up with over the last 6 months, we'll say, as we've been watching Attack on Titan, on why these two forms of entertainment are the exact same. One with a modern twist and animated, one extraterrestrial and live action. Is that fair?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say space versus Earth as well.
True.
Yep. True. Sci-fi versus fantasy.
But the same theme is there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
To a T.
Yes.
We're going to start. We have it branched off as a pseudo root or tree structure on the depth of similarity. So we're going to start off with the first point, which I think is the most obvious. And this gets a little political. But in both forms of entertainment, it is about a full authoritarian, right-leaning military state.
I would say the main part of both of those was how heavy the military is. It's always military this, military that on both media.
It's pure fascist, military, alt-right. We have been bound and brought together for one common goal. That's to defeat the enemy. The military is the government. The military rules all. Survival is most important. Mm-hmm. And that eliminates a lot of conceptual disagreements when you're just out for survival, right?
Yes.
Like everything, you know, PC this or, you know, simple civil liberties are out the window when it comes down to pure survival from a extraneous force, right? And that's kind of the whole alt-right military fiction model, which I'm sure there's plenty of other films that fit this, but these two do kind of coincide a lot more than others.
Into a very extreme
point. Even though one's an obvious satire and one is not, they're in their purest form, it's about a military state.
Yes.
Military state defending civilization from the end of civilization.
The something attacking us.
Yes. Yes. So we, you know, obviously in Attack on Titan, you have the Titans, right? Yeah, outside the wall, in the wall, etc. And then we, you know, in Starship Troopers, it's the arachnoids, the bugs, as their slur, as they're called.
Yes.
And instead of their actual race, it's the bugs. So, you know, one's on the same planet, but outside continent or on continent as well. And then the other one is, you know, extraterrestrial, another planet. But there's, you know, a launching of attacks between their planet and the arachnoid habitants.
Yeah,
because I think they're sprawled across like more of a universe.
Yeah, different planets.
Yeah.
But they're also both just larger creatures that are stronger than us and want to kill us.
Yes. Yes, that is the exact idea. So, first off, I feel like that alone makes them almost the same show, but it gets way more interesting than that. We just had to, obviously, like, state the obvious to get into the deep and heavy, all right? And so we have Off-State defending a foreign attacking race, right? Even though Titans are technically human, they're not human, spoiler, per se. It's all spoilers, fine.
It's been out long enough. It's so spoiler.
When we pass that, we have the main trio of characters.
Yes.
This is where it starts getting really interesting, where it's past just a military state movie or like war fascist propaganda film. This is where they get really, really interesting, where it's the same movie, just like you would say Battle Royale and The Hunger Games is the same thing, because it is.
It is 100% the same thing.
They're the one's a ripoff. I don't know. Is. I wouldn't say this is a ripoff. It's just too coincidental to be accidental.
They're the same part. It's the same character. I was going to say just Rico alone. He's the main character. He's supposed to be the strong dude. Not really much else going for him other than eventual hatred for the enemy. Not the brightest. Definitely yes. Not the brightest.
So Rico, we're calling Aaron Yeager from Attack on Titan.
Yes.
So the same thing.
He's your main boy.
They don't excel at anything. They are humdrum, kind of just the main character that has the himbo, right?
Yep.
Kind of dumb, kind of strong, always figures out a way to pull it off, like Goku, right? Like, they don't have characteristics. They're just himbos.
Yes.
They're pointless. It's just, we put up a handsome character.
And he is strong.
As the protagonist, and he carries on the show, okay? But there's a lot of coincidences between Rico and Aaron Yeager, okay? And the first off, yes, they're nobodies. Mm-hmm. You know, Rico came from money, but he was lost in life and didn't know what to do, so he joined the mobile infantry of all things, okay? And Aaron Yeager had a little more driving force that ends up, Rico gets the same driving force later in the movie.
Yes.
So Aaron Yeager's parents, his mom specifically, is killed by the Titans. And she gets hit by a rock and then eaten by a Titan. While Rico's family, when the meteorite hits Brazil.
It was the whole planet.
Well, his Brazil, right?
Yeah, his home. Well, it was Puerto Rico, whatever.
I think it was Brazil.
Okay.
Tropical. Either way, doesn't matter. So anyway, his family Big gets rock. Wiped out by a meteor, asteroid, whatever you want to call it.
Big rock.
While Aaron's mom gets hit by a rock and then eaten by a Titan, thus fueling their hatred further, because the meteor was launched by the bugs for Rico's parents, by the way. Both attacks.
The rock was launched by the Titans.
And the rock was launched by a Titan. So it's
crashing through the
their
wall.
Parents get killed by a rock, in theory, thus fueling their hatred for the invasive force further, pushing them to be more militaristic and violent.
Yep. Got to go kill the big thing.
Right. So that's number one. That's really, really like specific.
Same story.
To be a coincidence.
Yeah.
A rock and a monster. A rock launched by a monster, killing their parents to make them join the military to kill the monsters.
Yes.
That's
oddly specific.
Oddly specific. So talking about oddly specific too. So we got himbos, kind of just John Doe, protagonist, pretty boy, whatever you want to call it. We go deeper. We like to go deeper. Deeper. Inception. You got to go deeper, right? So next you have both of them were punished by military police. Okay. So Rico got whipped in public amongst all of his peers for breaking orders, right?
Yeah. They both had the military judgment on them.
So Rico gets whipped and belittled and demoted in front of all the Starship troopers.
Yes. Very corporal punishment.
Very corporal punishment. And then you can equate that. And it's a little bit of a stretch, but I don't think it's that far of a stretch. when it comes to Eren Jaeger, when he's in front of the military police, the MPs, in Attack on Titan, where he, you know, he's chained to the stake, and Levi kicks the ever living crap out of him.
Yeah, and he loses a tooth, like,
as just punishment to not only prove his dedication, his loyalty, his docility, and his control of the Titan form, mm-hmm. but also punishment for doing what he did.
Yes.
And he gets the ever-living crap beaten out of him. Now, there's a bit of a difference because Levi knew Eren had healing powers and would get over it, and it was to prove a point to the MPs, you know, that Levi has Eren under control. But it's really coincidental how there was kind of a court-ordered military police punishment for both of these characters.
They're both very much a show as well, because Rico's has an audience while he's getting whipped, and so does Eren. He's got a whole courtroom of people watching him.
Yeah, it was very, very public.
Yep.
Both were meant to be a statement, like a very profound statement at that. Now, Eren, I don't think he doesn't get promoted because they don't necessarily have ranks. But I mean, he served time in jail, mm-hmm. gets the crap beaten out of him in front of all the uppity-ups of the four squads in the Attack on Titan military complex. While Rico gets demoted, whipped in front of everybody in training and all the other battalions and squads in the area, like in broad daylight. On a, like a megaphone announcing it, like that's too coincidental.
They have very similar quick to judge as well, where the military just goes, "Oh, you're guilty. Here's your punishment, real fast."
Like, well, that's the thing. It's like when you talk about like military states, it's Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I am the law.
You know, judge, jury, prosecutor, all in one. You know, I am the law. It's kind of the whole point, which is why we don't like authorized military states. But it's a true shining on the light of what those fascist regimes always tend to lean, right? Which is super, super interesting. Can you think of any other extreme similarities between Rico and Eren Jaeger off the top of the head? Himbos. Parents die in grave situations by the attackers. They both get punished by MPs publicly.
Yeah. They both kind of go missing for a second. And I say quote unquote missing, where they think Rico's dead.
Yeah, Rico did go for a stint where he was dead.
Yes. And there's definitely multiple times where Eren goes missing.
Yeah, they think he's dead a couple times too, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, and further, like you would think they would become awake or aware of the military state, and they're just turning into, like, you know, the quote unquote cogs in the machine, and they just continue to abide and fight. But instead of that awakening them in a way to realize the futility of the whole thing, it emboldens them instead. Like both of them, where they get more and more developed and sincere into the cause.
And they fight more for it.
Yeah, like I mean, I guess Attack on Titans is a little bit different because there's an end game goal compared to a forever war. You know, there were certain objectives, but the longer they fought and the longer they saw their friends and comrades die, and the longer they are in this war, the more they got emboldened and embodied by it. Instead of saying "screw this, it's pointless," it's just an endless war. They get more and more enwrapped, enthralled, obsessed with the whole concept.
Just fighting for all the fallen ones. They keep pushing them forward.
They just keep going.
Yeah, they do.
Instead of like, well, maybe this is pointless. Like, I'm just a pawn in this grand scheme. They get more and more obsessed as the show continues.
Very much so. Because it shows like side characters who do find the pointlessness, and the main characters, the main himbos, get that drive.
Yes. So I think that caps it for Rico and Jaeger, but like, I mean, they're the same. They're the same.
Yes.
Other than Jaeger transforms and has magic powers, and Rico doesn't. He's super lucky and doesn't
die. Yeah, he's just, that's his power. He's just lucky he didn't die. It could be a power.
Yeah.
He should have been dead so many times.
Well, that's my secret. I'm always lucky. So then we're going to move to the next one. And this one you coined out a bit more than I have. But we're saying that Mikasa from Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And Carmen, who is played by Dennis Richards, are also very similar. And I think you have a better grasp on this concept than I do. So I want you to start this one off. Why are they the same?
Well, first off, they are way better than their counterpart of the himbo, because it's pretty girl that is talented. You don't know why they're with them. Well, I mean, in Attack on Titan, they explain why, but they are together, bonded in some way, because Rico and Carmen are dating together. And so when they go off and join the military, the girl just succeeds so much. Like, she just shines. And so Carmen ends up going off to become a pilot. And even on her first time flying, she does a fantastic job. It's a little iffy, but she does a great job. And Mikasa is just a badass and kicks ass the entire show. And always so much better than Eren. She's saving his butt so many times. So it's just like you've got this bright, shining girl with this dumb boy who she saves him so many times.
Yeah, so like, I mean, when we go back, so like Eren Yeager's kind of emo boy, annoying, self-anger, self-loathing, self-pity, low self-esteem. And then I think Rico's so plain, boring, and humdrum. He doesn't even have that kind of character development.
No, he doesn't have the emotion.
He doesn't have the emotional capability of that. Yeah. But then you go to like Carmen and Mikasa, and they're have a drive to be better for the sake of being better, not for the sake of war, not to be a tool, mm-hmm. right? They grow and they excel in all their tests. And they're always bogged down by the himbo they're attached to, right? And then they grow and grow and grow further. They end up saving the himbos, right? Because yep. Carmen's fleet ends up saving Rico, I believe, at one point during the movie.
Yep.
I remember correctly, right?
Then yeah, they come.
She was a savior.
She swoops in.
And picks Mikasa up. Saves Eren, I don't know how many times.
Countless.
And I think it's also, you could reverse that, and Eren saved Mikasa a couple times too. But They're kind of guardian angels for these dumb, plain, white bread himbos, right?
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those, like, clearly they are the better females to just guide them.
Yeah, they're just, like, super talented in, like, niche environments and excel because of that.
Yeah.
While you just have violent, testosterone-driven himbos as the main characters, as the protagonists that just want to fight and want to succeed, but really get carried by the tail of their pants and pure dumb luck. And then also the success and talents of their friends instead of themselves.
Yes. The right? Friends definitely pull them up.
I'm trying to think of anything else that really correlates Carmen and Mikasa, but like, I mean, they're both in like very niche talented fields where like Mikasa is like an extreme assassin, like second to none other than Levi, really, and her speed and judgment and agility and talent. And then Carmen's like this up and coming, like one of the best pilots that just every time she goes on another assignment gets ranked up every time and gets more and more important.
You can make a reference of about how they're both flying.
That's true. That's true.
They are both flying. They are very good at it.
Flight experts
and very agile in their flights.
That's fair. I mean, it's a common theme to equate women with agility as well, though.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense. Like, women are more finessed and agile, and maybe more well thought out at points, even compared to men. They're just testosterone driven, violent monsters, right?
They also, both the girls are just naturals, it seems.
Yeah, well, they're supernatural.
Yeah, like, they just pick it
up. Mikasa's natural by blood.
Yes.
As a Ackerman.
Yeah.
She just naturally is meant to be one of these agile, titan-slaying, non-mind-controlled freaks, you know, in the scheme of things of bloodlines and Attack on Titan. And Carmen just, like, she was always just a book-smart kid and then goes into pilot school and becomes, like, a hotshot pilot just naturally. Like, it all clicks with her.
Yeah.
Just being put into stressful or difficult environments, she just pulls it off naturally.
And they both work hard for it, but they're both fantastic at it.
Yeah, very, very true. They take it seriously and they thrive because of it.
Yes.
I don't know if I can think of anything else that's too similar between the two. But I think it's similar enough as supporting roles.
Right.
Where they are kind of the same thing once again, right?
That you have that very close female.
The close, talented, naturally successful female looking over the male protagonist that is kind of a humdrum, dull, just cookie cutter Boy Scout character almost.
In a way. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like Aaron transforms, but he's still very predictable.
He was also just lucky to get that power. Like,
and
he
was lucky to get it. He didn't do anything for it.
No.
Exactly. Same with Rico's like natural.
Just lucky to be alive.
Sense or instinct. Yeah. You know, it was just lucky. All right. So then we get to the third of the main trio characters. And I think this is the most interesting just because they're both my favorite from both shows. So we can talk about Neil Patrick Harris's character, Clark Jenkins. Okay. And then Armin, how they are both the strategists from both of these multimedia platforms. Right?
They're just the brains of everything.
They're the brains of everything. Armin is, you know, if you're not a huge Attack on Titan fan or you're not aware, he's like the mastermind, up and coming strategist for war strategy, platoon arrangements. The idea man as a whole. Outside the box thinking, kind of, you know, like saves. He's weak. He's pointless, blonde, skinny boy who is just so self-aware of the environment, ends up saving the whole crew by thinking harder than anyone else. Always like the 4D chess concept. He's the 4D chess master.
Which they do play 4D chess in. Neil Patrick Harris plays 4D chess in the movie.
Yes, exactly. And then you have Neil Patrick Harris' character, you know, Jenkins. Oh, he wasn't sergeant. He was.
Oh, he got promoted a whole bunch
or something. But anyway, he's kind of the same thing where he joins like what would be like the SS or something if you equated it to like, you know, Nazi Germany or something. But he's like in this like military intelligence secret regime
research division
behind the war, pulling the strings. Ruthless, mind you, which is probably the one difference between Armin and Jenkins, is Jenkins was ruthless and sent all these people to their death, didn't care, they're pawns of war, while Armin was very, very personable and compassionate to his fellow soldiers.
Armin was very shy about it, very reserved.
But they're the same character still, you know, they're the strategic masterminds. I mean, Jenkins was the one, he like learned this like incredible psychic ability to talk to the arachnids or the bugs, while Armin
understood them.
Just for some reason understood the inner thinkings of Titans, or specifically like the intelligent Titans, or the seven, right?
Yeah.
Or the nine. The Order of the Nine. Like, for some reason, he was always a step ahead of the Order of the Nine when it came to like finding Raynor in the Wall there's numerous things where like he was always a step ahead, knew what they were doing.
What's your plan of attack? Like, he plugged up the wall both times, basically.
Yeah, so he wasn't necessarily psychic about it, but he was always a step ahead.
Yes,
with his 4D chess mechanic, right? And while you have Jenkins, who was just psychic and could figure things out and could talk to the bugs,
and they're both blonde,
and they're blonde, skinny weaklings. They don't really offer anything but fragility when it comes to actual battle and war. But when it comes to strategic masterminds, they're the pinnacle and the paradigm of that.
Big brain. I do like the irony of having the dumb blonde joke, but the smartest ones are blonde.
That's true. I never thought about that. That is very true. I'm trying to think of anything else that makes them similar. I mean, I think that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, it's just biggest brain in the room.
They're the ones that were kind of
You just have that trio that they grew up together as friends.
Yeah, they're all friends.
Went off to war together as friends, and they all played the exact same role.
They played the same role, the same trifecta of authorite military state.
Yeah. It's apparently what you need to win the war is you just got a dumb himbo strong guy. You got the girl who's great at everything, and then you got the one that's brains and running everything, and then you win. That's it. That's how you win. You got to find those three. But you got to make sure the brains is blonde and you got a girl and a boy.
ridiculous. I mean, all right, so that's what that's the third tier, right? So authorized military state, duh. Inhuman invasion attackers, duh. All right, that's that step two. Step three, we now have the same trio of protagonists. Step four, step four is kind of a three or four tiered layer of this tree of coincidence. These might be a bit more of a stretch, but I think they're valid. So I think Michael Ironside's the Gene Reiskek character, which is like the platoon leader of Rico's first deployment, who was also his teacher in high school.
The boss right? man.
The bald guy with the cul-de-sac guy, super hard, tough ass, like badass, cutthroat dude is Levi.
Yeah. I was going to say, you got to have that platoon leader. Like, Levi leads the platoon. Because
when we talk about, like, squad. Season one and even the first half of season two of Attack on Titan, Levi is the cutthroat, violent, militant leader who doesn't think twice about killing the enemy, striking instantly, no time for feelings or emotions and war. You act instantly. Like, and that's what made Levi as an Ackerman so successful. Is he never second-guessed himself, never thought twice about anything. He was just always ready and posed to attack or defend at any given point. And he was just a badass. But then when the story develops through Attack on Titan, it seems like he becomes more friendly or even a brotherly figure with our main trio.
Right? And he just becomes more human instead of just this.
So he's human, supportive, understanding. Mm-hmm. Instead of your standard, like, lieutenant, sergeant, boot camp director kind of badass guy. He gets very human and supportive of all three of them. With Armin, Mikasa, well, you know, he realizes him and Mikasa are basically the same. He's very supportive of Jaeger, knowing he needs guidance and Armin needing a strong arm to lead on. He kind of reaches out to all three of them. Mm-hmm. And it seems really the same with Gene's character. Like, he was always meant to be that really big Billy badass character. But as it digresses, like, he becomes that friendly, brotherly, or like older brother, or even fatherly figure to Rico and the others as well.
Well, they also both go in with these stories and, oh, I've heard he's so a hard ass. I've heard he's so tough. And then you get to spend the time with him to learn the humanity. So they both go in with a lot of these preconceptions like, oh, Levi is the toughest, or Ironside's so strong and tough. He's been through all this. They've both been through enough battles.
Yeah, I know it's a little more of a stretch, but I think you could say they're both the same.
Yeah, you've got to have that leader character.
Leaders, Billy badass, hard ass at the start, end up being like older brother, father figures towards the end. It makes sense. Okay. And then the next one, and this one's a bigger stretch, but I still think it's true, is Sergeant Jim. Who was the boot camp leader, is kind of Irvin in a way. And it's not direct. I mean, they're buff, strong, jaw-lined, blonde dudes. But it was a strong point during the end of season three in Attack on Titan, before Irvin's death, that he was a devil. And the reason he was a devil is the war and circumstance made him a devil, right? He made the worst and awful decisions he ever had to for the sake of, quote unquote, as the show references nonstop, humanity. And I feel like Sergeant Jim is kind of that same Zim, that same way, where he was so rough, brutal, and awful as a drill sergeant, but he was only that awful because of the circumstance of the war they were in with the Arachnids.
Yeah, Zim wanted everybody to live, so he was.
I mean, he broke a dude's arm. Yep. He threw a knife at a dude's hand. Like, I mean, he was just ridiculously over the top. Just like how Irvin kind of sent all these people to their deaths all the time and made these ridiculously harsh and difficult decisions and more. You got Zim doing all these awful, mean, brutal things during boot camp for what later becomes the Rico's Roughnecks. But They're similar enough.
But he's also knowing he's sending these kids into war and death as well.
Medic!
Yeah.
Pain is in your mind.
The constant medic.
Oh God. He was probably the biggest character of the whole show when it really comes down to it. He was so ridiculous. And then the one thing, yeah, that was it. So Jake Busey, speaking of Boot Camp, he played Ace Levi, which was kind of the dumb hot shot recruit. To me, this is the biggest stretch, and this is just to kind of drive our point home on this. But kind of feels like Gene, where he's kind of the hothead, doesn't really play by the rules all the time.
Just side character.
But he's also the side, like, supporting character, the main character. Like, definitely has an authority problem. Doesn't really matter, though, in the end. But they kind of seem similar. They're part of, like, so...
It's the fun side.
We kept
character.
Talking about the main trio of the show. Gene on Attack on Titan probably comes in that strong fourth.
Yeah, he's there with this group.
Gene and the ball guy. What's the ball guy?
You didn't have to say it now.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But like, it's Gene and the ball guy are kind of like those other last two for the main trio in Attack on Titan. And then obviously for...
They're the Rosencrantz of Guildenstern. Shakespeare reference. It's always the side two characters that's in literacy. There's always the two side characters that aren't main characters, and that's the guild. Okay, it's a
CP3O and RTD2, who are actually the main characters.
Yes. Okay, so yes, there's always two side characters in a lot of literacy, and that's him and probably the curly hair girl that likes Rico.
Yeah, no, that could be.
They're the two side characters that are kind of always there.
But then that knocks out the Busey character.
No, that's him and her. They're the two sides.
Well, then who's that in Attack on Titan?
It's Gene and the bald guy. I can't remember his name.
Well, they're boys.
Okay, still you can change gender. It's 2022.
It's 2021.
Almost. Weeks away. Sorry, we're going way off. Okay.
Trying to think. Are there any other... So we're in that, like, fourth plateau.
Like, how is this
stupid coincidences? And this is just on a first look. First grasp. We sat down in dinner, you know, and we're like, man, we've been talking about how these movies are similar. Let's really break down why they're similar. And we wrote it all down and thought about it for a minute. And this is what we came up with. We didn't rewatch Starship Troopers. We just kind of went into this blind, but really thought it was an important thing to talk about for the sake of entertainment. And maybe we convinced you that it's the case. It's the same show. That maybe Attack on Titan had a strong unannounced influence, because I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's more than apparent, just like, you know, Hunger Games and Battle Royale.
I bet there's more similarities if we dig even deeper.
Yeah, I mean, we could really, really dig, and I'm sure we'd find all kinds of things that we wouldn't even want to find. And we're just talking about the first Starship Troopers movie.
Yes.
There's two or three more live actions and two CGI movies that could be dissected and added into this conspiracy.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the control of the bugs.
Yeah, that's a good point. That'll be our closing point. Brooke, yes. You take this one away.
Okay. No, the whole thing that Jenkins, Neil Patrick Harris's character, was found out about the queen and how she was controlling it, and it was all a hive mind, and she was in charge of all of these giant creatures, and we're in Attack on Titan. It is all a fight to get control over the Titans. Everybody wants the lead Titan voice control.
The founder.
Yeah, the founding Titans control.
Or any Titan with a bloodline of the royal bloodline.
The founding Titan.
Because Zeke was royal bloodline.
And the Beast Titan.
And he had control.
Yeah, Beast Titan had slight control over it.
Jaeger got pseudo control when he touched Zeke's mom, technically,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Was it Zeke's mom?
Yeah, it was Zeke's mom.
When he touched her, he got the royal bloodline power momentarily, right?
And it just works great because it's all royal and the queen bug. And it's all about controlling all of the other mindless ones.
So yeah, that was the last thing. I remember we had one other thing written down in crayon at a restaurant, you know, tablecloth. As we figured this out today, it was the control of the other invasive force.
Yep. And it's great that it's all like royal, like the queen bug and the royal bloodline.
It's the same show.
Yep.
It's the same form of entertainment. One's sci-fi, one's fiction, one's live action, one's cartoon. One's 20 years old and one's a couple years old. They're the same thing.
And they're both fantastic.
They're both incredible.
Yes.
With good reason. Because they're the same thing. It's, you can't like one and not like the other.
They're both very solid.
Which leads me to say, if you like one, you got to watch the other. If you know someone that likes one, they have to watch the other.
Yes, definitely recommend both.
So I implore you, if you've made it through this far, it's almost been 40 minutes of us rambling on about two nerdy shows that no one cares about anymore. But if you know someone that likes Starship Troopers, or you know someone that likes Attack on Titan, please share this with them. They can listen to it. They can make their own mind up about it and then share their thoughts with you, and you can both share it with us. That would be wonderful. I think this is a really good talking point amongst nerd. Culture. I don't know. I hate saying the word nerd.
I'm just wondering if there are any other sci-fi movies and animes that are this similar.
Oh, there's a ton. This might be an offspring of a series for us.
Yeah, what anime is similar to what movie?
I'll have to give it some thought for the next week. I'm sure we can come up with a few more, but. If you know anyone that likes one or the other, you got to share this with them. Get their thoughts, trace their thoughts with your thoughts, and get back with us and think if we're crazy off a rocker, or if we're really on to something. I think we're on to something.
I mean, we're crazy either way, but that's fine.
I think we're really on to something.
Yes.
There's too much to go on here to just push it aside as coincidence. Well, I don't know. I guess that wraps it up, right?
Yeah, I got nothing else that's similar. Off the top of my head.
Got a goodbye or a shout out or anything you want to give off? Her name's Brooke.
Hi.
She's my beautiful wife. Your Instagram?
Mezza Tattoos.
Spell it.
Mezza Tattoos.
Yeah, you can. If you want to respond to this, hit her up. You want to give her a follow, do that too. I don't do social media because I'm a boomer and I don't care. But my name is Drew and this is A Mime Soapbox. Mime is money, and I got money on my mime. We'll see you in a week or two.
Thank you.
Later.